여러분들이 기대. 시시 라라 크리스나 고고피나 사이마 컨드 라라 컨드 기리 고버던 기제 시빈 나반담 기제 시나바디 마야 포어담 기제 गंगामाई की जय जमुलमाई की जय भक्त देवी की जय तुलसी देवी की जय समवेद भक्त वृंद की जय All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to CC Guru and Gauranga Nitai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bho. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pustaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tanamani. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharane Nivasesha Sunyavadi Prashkatidesa. Thank you. It's okay. It's no. Thank you. Hare Dhamma Mahaprabhu, do we usually read the chapter summary? Okay. Here's the chapter summary for the chapter entitled Worshipping Govardhan Hill. Now, who knows what chapter? That's a very good system, except I can't see, read the book. Other than that, it's a great idea. So therefore, put it over here. But I'll speak so loudly, there won't be a problem. Hare Krishna. So what chapter number is Worshipping Govardhan Hill? You're looking right there, of course you know. Okay. And what was the topic in the previous chapter? Raise your hand. But raise your hand. Yes, Prabhu. The Brahmana's wives were blessed. Okay. But not only were the Brahmin's wives blessed, but who else was blessed? But raise your hand. Right at the very end. Yes, Mataji, you were the first to raise your hand. Yes. The Brahmanas were also blessed. But how did the last chapter end? Who remembers? Yes. They repented that how unfortunate they were and how fortunate their wives were. What was their fortune? They had love for Krishna, that they went and saw Krishna, so that they acknowledged that they should be going to see Krishna, yes? But why didn't they go? But raise your hand. But why didn't they go? Yes, Prabhu. They were fearful of Kamsa. They were fearful of Kamsa. Now, when we know that Krishna is there to protect us, do we drop everything and just run to Krishna? Well, some of us do. But some of us don't. And what is the problem? We look at the Brahmanas and see, oh, they should have gone to Krishna, but they were fearful of Kamsa. And later on in the 43rd chapter, we'll see how Krishna just pulls Kamsa down from his throne and beats him. Actually, he pulled him by his hair, Sri Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says. And he just threw him down, and with his touching his hair, he withdrew his life forces. And when he went, threw him down to the ground, practically speaking, he was already dead. And then Krishna jumped and landed on him, because Krishna was so intelligent, supremely intelligent, he didn't want to land on the hard ground. So he landed on Kamsa, which was his body was softer. And Krishna, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, was even surprised how easily Kamsa, who was so powerful, was killed. So again, the Brahmanas were fearful. What were they afraid of? what are we afraid of? And we'll, if we think of that, then we'll know what they were afraid of. No one wants to raise the hand on this one. Yes, yes, but loudly. Fear of losing our material possessions. Probably, if we all ask ourselves, we will all have our own answer to what we are afraid of giving ourselves fully to Krishna. But there is fear, and one of the greatest fears is that if I give everything to Krishna, who is going to take care of me? So this pastime that is just going to begin in the 24th chapter, in that sense, is a continuation, a philosophical continuation from the previous chapter. And we will see that the Brijbasis didn't have any fear at all when they were, when at any time, at any difficulty, whatever situation they were in, they always simply turned to Krishna. Krishna, 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 Krishna. So let us read, and then perhaps we can read the first verse. In this chapter, Lord Sri Krishna crushes the pride of Indra by stopping the sacrifice intended for him and initiating a substitute sacrifice in worship of Govardhan Hill. Now, who can remember what I just read? One sentence. Very difficult question. What did I just read? Raise your hand. Okay, we'll try again. Okay. Okay, you're reading it along. Okay, I just tricked. The whole thing is written? Oh, this is technical. Yes, this is what I was thinking. It's good to have a temple president present. Can remind us. Okay. When Sri Krishna saw the cowherd men busily preparing for a sacrifice to Indra, he inquired about it from their king, Nanda. Nanda explained that the rain given by Indra enables all living entities to maintain their lives, and therefore this sacrifice would be executed to satisfy him. Krishna responded, "It is because of karma alone that the living entities take their birth in a certain body, experience varieties of happiness and suffering in that body, and then give it up as the karma pertaining to it runs out. Thus, it is karma alone that is our enemy, our friend, our guru, and our lord. And Indra can do nothing to alter the happiness and distress of anyone, for everyone is tightly bound by his karmic reactions." Now, of course, each sentence of this is its own Bhagavatam class, and that will be happen one verse after the next, because of course this is a summary of the verses of the chapter. The material modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance bring about the creation, maintenance, and destruction of this world. The clouds give forth rain when they are impelled by the mode of passion, and cowherds prosper by protecting the cows. Furthermore, the cowherd's proper residence is in the forest and on the hills. Therefore, he should offer worship to the cows, the brahmanas, and Govardhan Hill. After Krishna spoke thus, he arranged for the cowherd men to worship Govardhan with the paraphernalia collected for the sacrifice to Indra. He then assumed a huge, unprecedented, transcendental form, and he devoured all the food and other offerings presented to Govardhan. As he did so, he proclaimed to the cowherd community that although they had worshipped Indra for so long, he had never appeared in person, whereas Govardhan himself had now manifested before their eyes and eaten their offerings of foodstuffs. Therefore, they should all now offer obeisances to Govardhan Hill. Then, Lord Krishna joined the cowherds in offering obeisances to his own newly assumed form. Shall we read the first verse? No? Okay. Is it up? Is the verse up? Okay. Sri Suku Vacha Bhagavan Appi Tatraiva Bala Devena Samyuta Apashyan Nivasan Gopan Indra Yaga Kvito Dhyaman. Bhagavan appi tatraiva Any Matajis like to chant? Jisuku vacha Tatreva One more. Sri Sukurvacha. Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Api, also, Tatra Eva, in that same place, Balavena, by Lord Balaram, Samyutta, joined, Apashyat saw Nivasan staying. Gopan, the cowherd men. Indra, for Indra, the king of heaven. Yaga, for the sake of a sacrifice. Krita, making. Udyaman, great endeavor. Sukadeva Goswami said, While staying in that very place with his brother Baladev, Lord Krishna happened to see the cowherd men busily arranging for a sacrifice to Indra. Please repeat. Sukadev Goswami said, while staying in that very place with his brother Baladev, Lord Krishna happened to see the cowherd men busily arranging for a sacrifice to Indra. And here is Srila Prabhupada's purport. So you're all going to read along, yes? According to Srila Sridhar Swami and other acharyas, the words tatra eva in this verse, that was in Bhagavan Api Tatra Eva. The words Tatra Eva in this verse indicate that Lord Krishna stayed in the village of Brahmins whose wives had satisfied him by their devotion. Thus, he gave his mercy to those Brahmanas as well as to their chaste wives, who had no one to associate with except their husbands. In that place, the cowherd men, headed by Lord Krishna's father, Nanda Maharaj, were somehow or other preparing an elaborate sacrifice to Lord Indra, and Lord Krishna reacted as follows. Om Aginatamirandasya Janajana Salakaya Chaksu Samilitan Jaina Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Manubhistam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sa Pandantikam Vansakalpa Trivascha Kripa Sindhu Vaivacha Patitanam Pabhimanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Hare Krishna. How many of you don't know anything about Govardhan Leela? Only two. Since everyone knows this most famous pastime of Krishna in Sri Vrindavan, and how many of you have been to Sri Giriraj, Govardhan? Raise your hand. So all the devotees have been there. I thought of giving a little bit of an overview of the pastime and just bringing out some of the many lessons, just a few of the many lessons that will be learned from this pastime. Now, as the pastime unfolds verse by verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, certainly the wonderful speakers on the verses will bring out many, many points and many, many lessons for us to learn and just many different items, different things. So I would just like to mention four that really struck me while reading this verse. First, just to refer to what the BBT purport explained, that this pastime takes place in the same village where the Brahmanas were performing the sacrifice to attain swaga, to the sacrifice for Indra. Now, what was the purpose of that sacrifice? That sacrifice ultimately is meant to please Krishna. And the Brahmins had mistaken the purpose of that sacrifice. And when their wives went to give the offerings to Krishna, which was actually the purpose of the sacrifice, Vedescha Savam, Ahamaiva Vidyo, at first they were quite displeased with their wives, but later they understood the purpose. Now that village is called Bartral, and there are many pastimes that happened in that area, and this is one of them. And it's quite close, and it's right on the border between Mathura and Vrindavan. So it's not exactly in Vrindavan and not exactly in the Mathura area. And also that was the place where, a little further down towards the Yamuna, where Akura, where Krishna and Balaram, while Akura was on the chariot, he saw Akura while taking Krishna to Mathura. He saw the form of Krishna as Garbhadaksha Vishnu and the form of Lord Balaram as Anantashesha. So it is a very wonderful place. But yet, it is not quite in Vrindavan. It is just on the border. And the purpose of this, of Krishna's acting in this pastime to stop the Indra sacrifice, there's not very much explained about it here, but in the Krishna book, Prabhupada explains exactly why Krishna acted as he did. He gives a very wonderful point. In summary, he says, while engaged with the brahmanas, now I can ask my questions, because the person's going to be listening very carefully and adjusting everything. Okay, now you have to listen very carefully and not just read along. I'm going to ask you, what is Prabhupada's point here? So while engaged with the brahmanas, who were too much involved in the performance of Vedic sacrifices, Krishna and Balaram also saw that the cowherd men were preparing a similar sacrifice in order to pacify Indra, the king of heaven, who was responsible for supplying water. As stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, a devotee of Krishna has strong and firm faith in the understanding that if he is simply engaged in Krishna consciousness and Krishna's transcendental loving service, then he is freed from all other obligations. Does anyone know what that verse is that Prabhupada is referring to? Shraddha Sabde. Vishvaskore, with great sudrita. If one has great faith, this is the definition of what Shraddha is. If one has great faith, is holding on to the fact that Krishna bhakti koila sarva karma krittahoy, that everything else is accomplished just by Krishna bhakti, just by serving Krishna in that way. So at this point, we are hearing, but we're also trying to understand what Prabhupada is telling us. This is what bhakti actually is. This is what the doorway to bhakti is. This is what the doorway to Sharanagati is. That how could one give oneself to Krishna, gotirpte varanam tata, surrender oneself fully to Krishna, unless one has faith that everything else is done if I give myself to Krishna. And there are different stages of this faith. The first is Shraddha, and then Bhajan Kriya, etc. Nishta, Anartana Vritti Nishta, etc. And it ends, this faith is built up to such a degree by the end that it is Prema Bhakti. And therefore, in this Leela, we're going to hear about how the residents of Vrindavan, all of them, from the cows to the friends, to the servants, to the gopas, to the gopis, they all find shelter under Govardhan Hill. There is no need. Their faith, their love for Krishna is so strong, they've given him everything. And they don't for a second worry about who is going to take care of me. And whatever they're doing, as explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi 4, whatever they are doing, and that chapter specifically describes Mahaprabhu's taking on the mood of Srimati Radharani, whatever they're doing, whether they're looking in the mirror, whether the gopis are dressing themselves, their concern is only Krishna's pleasure. So how much faith does one have to be on that level? So the development of bhakti is the development of faith and the development of attachment to Krishna, the development of giving oneself to Krishna, the development of loving Krishna completely. Completely, completely. And that is the fulfillment of the soul of each and every one of us. And that is what Mahaprabhu came to give, and that is what Srila Prabhupada came to give. So that verse comes from the teachings of Sanatana Goswami, that Mahaprabhu taught to Sanatana Goswami. So a pure devotee of Krishna, of Lord Krishna, doesn't have to perform any of the ritualistic functions enjoined in the Vedas, nor is he required to worship any devatas, any demigods. Being a devotee of Lord Krishna, one is understood to have performed all kinds of Vedic rituals and all kinds of worship to the demigods. Because interestingly enough, the Karma Kanda section of the Vedic rituals, where one satisfies the devatas, one satisfies the demigods to get something for oneself. The purpose of that, interestingly enough, of all the activities to get something for me, the purpose of that is to become detached from getting anything for me. The purpose of karma is jnana. To understand, even if I have the whole universe in my hand, even if every enjoyment, every pleasure that's available in the entire universe is given to me, I will not be satisfied because I am not of this universe. I'm an eternal soul. So this is the basic teachings of the second chapter of Srimad Bhagavad Gita. To understand, so the purpose of karma is to come to that understanding that the satisfaction that I long for just simply does not exist in this world. It exists with me in my relationship with Krishna. So the Prabhupada wants to make this point, is what Krishna is trying to explain, that there's no need at all to worship the devatas. There's no need to go to any other place for our happiness except to the lotus feet of Krishna. And to actually accept that fully is called what? Thank you. Even though you called out. Okay. But everyone else was humble and shy. That is called Shraddha. Adore Shraddha. And that is the beginning of bhakti. One, being a devotee of Lord Krishna, one is understood to have performed all kinds of Vedic rituals and all kinds of worship of the demigods. One has already accomplished the purpose of those rituals. One does not develop devotional service for Krishna by performing the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies or worshipping the demigods. But it should be understood that one who is engaged fully in the service of the Lord has already fulfilled all Vedic injunctions. In order, now here is Prabhupada going to say directly why Krishna stopped Govardhana Lila. Excuse me, why he stopped the sacrifice and made Indra angry. In order to stop all such activities by his devotees, Krishna wanted to firmly establish exclusive kevala bhakti, exclusive devotional service during his presence in Vrindavan. Because he is the omniscient personality of Godhead, because he knows everything, Krishna knew that the cowherd men were preparing for the Indra sacrifice. But as a matter of etiquette, and this is what happens in the succeeding verses, he began to inquire, to ask with great honor and submission from elder personalities like Nanda Maharaj. So Prabhupada explains this point, is why Krishna stopped the sacrifice to Indra. And what did he do? So he didn't say, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. He didn't stop with that. But he said that we should worship Giriraj Govardhan. And his reason was that we are cowherd men, and he'll explain later that the rain comes by karma, interacting with Rajagun. And don't worry about things. Don't worry about where the rain's going to come from. If we worship Giriraj Govardhan, who he says, you say is himself, as we read in the summary, then everything will be taken care of. He is the Paramadevata. Now, so one lesson that Prabhupada stresses here. Now, a second lesson that comes out later is that when one gives when one has Shraddha, that I am a soul, and not only a soul, but I am Krishna's, Jivera Sarubhoi, that I am Krishna's. So to the jnan that I am an eternal soul is insufficient knowledge. But the perfection of knowledge is to know that I am Krishna's. And what that leads to, quite naturally, is to Krishna to reciprocate with the devotee who gives himself to Krishna. Because Krishna is a person. And this is, in one sense, easy to understand for the devotees, but in another sense, very difficult to understand. He's a person. A person with particular personality, a particular nature, particular moods. But he's a person. So, for example, when we speak about, when we chant Hare Krishna, that's what we should do, and we should avoid committing aparads, offenses. So one way to look at aparads we can look at is you should not do this, you should not do that, you should not do this, because you won't get the effect of chanting. But another way to look at aparads is that it's an insult to Krishna. And he gets insulted. And if you insult someone, like I could show an example right now, I'll insult Dharma. No, I won't do it. But what happens when you insult somebody? Well, what happens when you get insulted? You never get insulted. But what happens when one gets insulted? Well, it breaks one's relationship immediately. The intimacy, the relationship, the affection stops. So all the aparads are actually insults to Krishna and to Krishna's devotees. So therefore we avoid them because they get in the way of the relationship with Krishna. So Krishna is a person. So when we have faith that we belong to Krishna, that we are his part and parcel, beloved part and parcel, aham bija pada pita, then naturally what happens when we give ourselves to Krishna, because he's a person, he gives himself to his devotee. Even a beginning devotee, he reciprocates with. What to speak of the residents in Vrindavan who completely captivate him so much that Vrindavanam pratyaja padamekam nagacchati. He won't take one step out of Vrindavan. They've captured him with their love and their mood of devotion, their prema. So Krishna, being a person, he reciprocates with those who have the faith and then enter into the path of Sharanagati, the path of devotion. He reciprocates with them. Now, one lesson that we understand from this is that Indra, and one of the surprising points about Govardhan Leela, is that Indra He's not an asura. He's an exalted devotee. He's a devotee. But yet, when he was insulted, and look what the insult was, Krishna stopped the sacrifice. Now, Indra is the king of heaven. He's the king of heaven, and heaven is very, very large. He controls the rain on all the planets. His responsibility is very large, huge. But for one person, stopping one sacrifice, one person stopping in one village, stopping one sacrifice, what was he ready to do? And what did he actually try to do? You can raise your hand if you like and say, what did he try to do? Yes. Okay, put it in a real practical terms. He tried to destroy and kill all the residents of Vrindavan, including the cows. The essence of Vedic culture is cows, in one sense. He got so angry for one sacrifice being stopped. He was ready to destroy. Sometimes do you feel like that when you get angry? Are you ready to destroy the whole universe? And of course, not you. So why? How is that possible? Such an exalted person. Why such an extreme reaction to one village, one person in one village, stopping one sacrifice for such an exalted person? What's your answer to this? Raise your hand. Yes, Maharaj. He's attached to his position. Yes. I was thinking of one word. Yes, you all know. Pride. Pride. And what was he proud of? His position. And what was the position? It was power. So he had pride in his power. And he didn't understand that he got intoxicated by his position and didn't understand that whatever excellences, whatever power he had, was actually a gift from Krishna. And he thought it was mine. I am powerful. Ahankara vamudatma kartaham iti. Thus thinking in his mind, you have insulted me. You will see how powerful I am. But that power was just a gift from Krishna. If we actually understood that all the things, like fairly recently, a long time ago, I lost my hair, and I used to think that I was my hair. But then when I lost it, I understood that I'm still here, but my hair has gone. And then I lost one tooth after another, and I thought I was my beautiful teeth. And now but the teeth have gone, and I'm still here. I used to be strong. I used to run. I used to be proud of those things. I used to be able to speak. I used to be able to do this. I used to be able to do that. I could sing at least a little bit. One by one, these things are taken away by the mercy of Krishna. Because I thought it was me. And Krishna, I found this so interesting, where Prabhupada says in the Krishna book later on, that Krishna is such a good teacher that he never said, Indra, I am the Supreme Lord, your master, you will see my power. He didn't speak to him like that, but rather Indra used all his power and Krishna, with just the weakest finger on the weakest hand, he held up a huge hill. And he never said anything to Indra. But gradually, after trying again and again, Indra understood that Krishna was his Lord and Master, and Krishna was all-powerful. So when I thought about that pastime and that aspect of Krishna, I thought about my teeth and my hair and all the things, my strength and abilities, that Krishna is not saying, of course he's saying in the Bhagavad Gita and the Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita and every Bhagavatam class and every Bhagavad Gita class, he's saying that you are a tiny, insignificant soul and all these attributes that you think are you, that you're so proud of, they are not you at all, and that you better find out who you actually are and start acting on that level. Life has its way of teaching us. Krishna teaching us. Tate anukampam susamikshamano. It is Krishna who's teaching us continuously in life. It took Indra 7 days before he learned his lesson, at least to some degree. But how long will it take me to learn? That is the question I asked myself. I'm not as good a student as Indra. So, therefore, our greatest of Prayojana Charges, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, he says, Dambha Hitva, first of all, you should give up pride. You should give up pride. False pride. And there's a difference between false pride and real pride. Pride in Krishna, pride in Guru, pride in Prabhupada, pride in Vaishnavas, pride in the beauty of the deities, of the beauty of the temple, the pride in that Krishna is empowering so many devotees to do so many things. That Krishna is my Krishna, who I'm trying to serve in my own little way. That's proper pride. But the false pride of, look at me, what I can do, and even the service I do, little service, insignificant service that I do, I want to get something from it, at least for people to say, oh, Barishan, you gave such a nice class today. Then I could say, no. At least something I should get from it, at least some Mahaprasadam cookies, at least. But the real prema, the lesson that the Brijbasis teach us, that all the exalted devotees teach us, is that the real gift is simply the opportunity to offer service and understanding that we are little servants, and that is Krishna's blessing. And Krishna reciprocates. He holds up the hill and everyone can get under. And he can reciprocate with each and every one of us in an individual way. How wonderful is that Krishna, is our Krishna. Each and every one of us, he can bring under the hill of his lotus feet and his shelter. Each and every one of us. But when will I learn through the lessons of life that there is no moving upward in Krishna consciousness, in a sense. Yes, there is. Srisur Shoshana Danasya Vasudeva Kataruchi Sian Mahatseva Vipro Punatirta Nasevayat. Yes, there is a moving upward, and that moving upward is an increased taste in the sweetness of service, devotional service. That's the moving upward that we want, that I want this and I don't want anything else. Kabe habe bolo se dinamar. And then another, of course, lesson or thing that we will see in this Leela, is that look how sweetly Krishna is going to be acting. Prabhupada hinted at it, or said it very briefly. Very briefly, he acted towards Nanda Maharaj with such sweetness, with such honor, such respect. So he's teaching us how to act, but yet the Supreme Lord, who is so beautiful, is attractive in every way, in every way. And his leelas, and Krishna comes to this world to demonstrate these leelas, these pastimes of his, to attract us to him from our impossible attempt for happiness in this world. He comes to attract us to join him as servants of servants of servants in his wonderful pastimes in Braja, which are so sweet, because of the love of the residents of Vrindavan. And there Krishna can completely relax, in one sense. He can show his full identity of sweetness, who he really is, beneath being Narayan, I don't mean that word, but in Vaikuntha he's this, and he's working through the devatas, and he's listening to all the people who pray to him for their children's college education and everything. He's listening to everyone. But who he really is Shyamasunda, Krishna with Balaram, Radha Shyamasunda. He can just be himself in Braja because he's with people who are the most trusted, who don't want to take anything for themselves. They're the most trusted because they have the greatest, full, complete love for him in the special mood of the residents of Vrindavan. So he displays the sweetest of pastimes, so we can understand what sweetness actually is, so that we can taste what sweetness actually is. So as we hear this Leela, and as we hear the entire Bhagavatam, especially in Canto 10, look for the sweetness, how Krishna is interacting with his devotees. The sweet way he talks, the way his beauty attracts them, the way they give themselves to him, the way that they give him pleasure through their loving quarrels or whatever. But Krishna is always the center and the sweetness. So I wanted to mention those different aspects of the Leela that struck me. And now Krishna is putting the seeds of the Leela in by saying, Father, why are you performing this sacrifice? Now Krishna, as our acharyas explained, he has seen this sacrifice going on for many, many years. Year after year they're worshipping Indra. And now he says, why are you performing this sacrifice? I see everyone running around. And then he'll ask questions such as, why are you running around? What are you trying to get? Who are you trying to please? Who are you trying to please? And what do you want? Which are very interesting questions to ask ourselves too. Who am I trying to please? But ask when no one else is around and answer so only you can hear. Who are you trying to please? And why are you doing it? What do you want? Krishna asked those questions. Okay, I'll stop here. Any questions or comments? Thank you very much for your attentiveness. Maharaj,
Hare Krishna. Thank you. Regarding faith, can one say that according to one's faith, one can ascertain one's advancement? Then I have another one after that.
Well, ask the second one just in case I can then do them both at once.
The second part is regarding faith also. If one wants to have more and more service, does it mean that his faith is increasing?
Okay. I'll answer the second one first, just because I remember it better. The first one was so long ago. If one wants to increase one's service, does it necessarily mean that one's faith is increasing? There is no necessarily in there, because one's intention really means a lot. And in the beginning, certainly, we don't have very much of a relationship with Krishna. Our relationship is with Guru and Vaishnavas, certainly. So how much are we really doing what we're doing to please them? And how much is our desire to increase our service to please them? And how much do I want some percentage for myself? Now, that doesn't mean that because I know that I have so many contaminations and so many anartas and so many mixed desires in my service, that doesn't mean that I shouldn't do any service, wait till I become pure and then do service. No, it doesn't mean that, because then it will never happen. It will never, ever happen, because devotional service, bhakti means service. So naturally, like a child has to walk in a bad way or speak, a child has to speak imperfectly before he can speak perfectly. I could go into this in a long way, but I won't. But yes, we have to serve. But the more that our service is based on pleasing Guru, Vaishnavas, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda, sincerely. And sometimes we become very expert in, as I was hinting at, and learning how to act humbly, but inside being proud of our ability to act humbly. So, not necessarily, but we want to, because in Bhakti Sandarbha, Srila Jiva Goswami says that Misra Bhakti won't give the result of prema. So we want that. So the alternative from going forward and trying to become the biggest devotee or doing nothing until I'm pure is serving, but with humility, being conscious of one's impurities and faults, but yet going forward depending on the mercy of Krishna and Vaishnavas. Humility is the alternative. So that was my answer to the second.
Thank you. Can I have the question from that question you just answered?
First one? First, maybe if I do the first one short.
Okay.
But what was the first one again?
Does faith depends on one's faith, we can ascertain one's advancement in Krishna consciousness.
But we should always, as Sanatana Goswami, when he said, "Ke ami, who am I?" he already knew the answers, but Prabhupada explains that it's the nature of a Vaishnava, even if you think you're in this position, to ask others, seniors, more advanced, for confirmation. So we should do that always.
The
answer from the second question gave birth to another question.
Yes.
Okay, I'll try to be brief.
This is how we churn the nectar here.
Okay.
Is it better to let others do, let's say, you really want the service a lot, so is it better to let others give the service to them, or you just occupy the service by yourself?
Well, it's like someone saying, should I take malaria medicine, or should I take aspirins, or should I take antibiotics? There needs to be a doctor who makes the prescription for you, takes your pulse. So you can read all the books, medical books, but you still need a doctor. So is it better? Some people are so attached to the service, maybe not for perfect reasons, but if you take that away, they have nothing. And then, katam ho ya. So it's very, very tricky to deal with someone's service. We have to be very, it's very delicate dealing with someone's service. But on the other hand, if perfection of service is to, in one sense, train others to do the service and then one move upwards, so to speak. We saw that Srila Prabhupada tried to do that as much as he practically could. He would let others manage. In the beginning, he had to manage everything himself. He had to cook everything himself. He had to make all decisions himself. But as quickly as he could, he gave that to others so he could either expand his preaching, even though they were imperfect and couldn't do it as well as him. But he tried to train them as much as he could, so he could concentrate on things that no one else could do, and also to, which one of those main ones was to translate. So a tricky question with no simple answer, and I find that most questions, deep questions, are in the area of gray. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. I was just thinking for this on a long time. The position of demigods, especially Indra, is very highly elevated. In the second canto, it said that basically there was no jiva and yajna appeared as Hari did the position of Indra. So how can we reconcile the fact that the demigods, especially Indra, was already twice present? First time in Svetadvip requesting Krishna to descend, and second time in the womb of Devaki, he requested or he glorified Krishna. And yet we see Brahma and Indra done the mistake of not knowing who Krishna truly is. So how can we reconcile? Is it Leela, or is the answer they just been bewildered? What would you say, Prabhu?
Well, in the fourth canto, in Prithu Maharaj's sacrifice, he tries to stop that. And later on in the tenth canto, he wouldn't give Krishna the Parijata tree from heaven. So there's many lessons from this. One is, don't try to become Indra. Even though it may be attractive to be on the heavenly planets and be surrounded by dancing girls, don't do it. Another lesson is, just understand the power of Maya. In 1 second, and I experience this every day, practically. 1 second, my mind is, from now on, I'm going to listen to all my rounds and everything. And then the next moment, my mind becomes attracted to something else. So don't underestimate the power of Maya, and keep in good association, and be careful. And of course, ultimately we say, this is Leela, Krishna dealing with great devotees. And later on, when he's fighting with Bali Maharaj, and he gets what he wants, the kingdom, but who is glorified? Who really gets the gold? Bali Maharaj. So, as long as there is false ego, because false ego is the basic ingredient of the material world, the ahankar, combining with the three modes of nature. So as long as there is false ego, there is danger, great danger. So what do I do now? We continue or do we stop? Okay. 1, 2, 3. Oh, no, I should. 2. Unless I can really do them fast, then I can. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Prabhuji, what is that thin line that from where the true pride starts converting to false pride?
Sincerity and insincerity. So we all, a conditioned soul is sincere. Like there was one Christian saint who really wanted to surrender himself to God, but he had a girlfriend. So he said, "Please, please, let me serve you, but not now, a little bit later." So there was the mixture of sincerity and insincerity. But yet Krishna is so kind that even though if we express something sincerely, even though it may not be fully sincere, in time that sincerity will be acted on. So perhaps I answered your question, and perhaps I didn't, but it's the end. Yes, Prabhu.
He's older.
Okay.
I'll be quick. Thank you for pointing out the sweetness of the pastimes and of Krishna's dealing. And it made me wonder why or how we always present this pastime in, at least I've always heard in a very heroic way. Krishna lifts the hill on his pinky finger and shows Indra. This is the first time, and maybe it's the first time I really listened, perhaps, that I hear this sweetness. So pointed out.
So what was a comment? Yes. Thank you. But just thank you. Later we talk too.
Acha. Hare Krishna Prabhuji. There's Balaram mentioned in the verse, and somehow devotees often say that when we are on our attempts to please Krishna, we can ask Balaram for help. But I always wonder sometimes who is reciprocating. Is it now Balaram, or is it Krishna, or is it Radharani even? Can you shed a little bit more light on that?
Who do you ask?
I ask you.
Okay, so who's going to reciprocate? Me.
You.
So if you ask Balaram and Radharani speaks, then it will get very confusing. And if you so don't get confused, just listen to who you're asking. Because they're all wonderful.
Yeah, but sometimes.
I
understand the point.
Yeah.
But it's not always that I ask questions, but someone is reciprocating, and I just wonder who.
You mean who's reciprocating when you're not asking anyone to reciprocate?
Yes, to my seva, whatever I do. A little bit.
Who are you offering it to?
To my spiritual master.
Okay. There you go. By his mercy, it's happening. So then you could say the spiritual master is the original spiritual master is Adi Guru, is Krishna in the heart, or you could say it's Balaram, or you could say it's Radharani. But you just take it as, this is my guru's mercy. By his mercy, this is happening.
Should we go directly to Krishna and offer something to Krishna? Is it? I wonder, because normally we go through Guru always, isn't it?
But it's not that you're not allowed to pray to Krishna, but you pray through the Guru and by his mercy. Prabhupada even said in Vrindavan, and this is so wonderful, if you have a problem you can't solve, take it to Lord Balaram. And I could tell you many stories about devotees who have done that, but I won't. Hare Krishna. So he said, approach Balaram. Why are the deities? ladies here, but we do it as a servant. When one does puja, for example, one does it as a servant to one. I'm offering this as a service to my from my spiritual master. As a servant of my spiritual master, I'm offering this to you. That should be the deepest identity. Because I'm not pure enough to offer something to you, but by His mercy, I know you will accept it. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Prabhupada Bhaktivinoda ki jai, Sisi Gonitai ki jai, Sisi Krishna Balarama ki jai, Radha Sama Sundar Lalita Vishaka Devi ki jai, Srila Prabhupada Bhaktivinoda ki jai. My cookies. I said distribute them after what I said. Hare Krishna. But not now. Let me just at least get off the Vyasa.